screen today. This is a very important message because what you shared, Julie, is exactly where I'm going right now. I'm going there. This is my heart. I'm going to share with you what my life is when I retire. Okay, we don't worry about it. It's okay. When I retire, I'm going to be doing this, what you just shared. Now, are we ready to go? Or do I just go? Don't worry, I have all my notes. I'm ready. I need to really pray because I don't want this just to be Miles. Lord, I just cry out to you. What she shared is on my heart. Nobody can, not one person can build a church. It takes the body of Christ. And I just pray that you would go deep, like what she shared, I would add to it. And that it would break through and we would see the tremendous privilege of sharing the gospel. This is not a burden. This is a joy. This is where our joy is. Help us, Lord, to see it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Donald Gray Barnhouse, he is known by the preachers as one of the greatest illustrators that ever lived, Donald Gray Barnhouse. And he says this, the moment a man becomes aware that he has been made alive in Christ, there is the urge to let someone else know about it. That urge is as natural as the cry of a newborn infant. When no such desire to witness occurs, there may be a serious question as to whether a stillbirth has taken place instead of the birth of a living, healthy babe in Christ. Now, throw a monkey wrench in this. Most of you are saved. So what happens when you don't, when you've had the urge and all of a sudden it's disappeared? What do you do? When you don't share, where it becomes a drag, where you just don't want to. Well, the best thing that I've done is I've looked at people from the Bible where they have lived out their witness. And that's why I'm right in the context of this one. John the Baptist. Well, it's okay. I'm okay. John the Baptist was a true witness from God. Okay? Was a true witness from God. And he showed all of us what a witness is to the end. Okay. I want you to really understand this. Number one, I'm going to point out three things that are witness. Okay? Here we go. A witness is someone who is sent by God. Now that God has to speak to me and send me where he wants me to go. To people all over the place. If I do it on my own, it does not work. I've tried it. I need to learn to listen to God like John the Baptist. The same thing. He was sent by God to prepare the way. You wouldn't believe what you just say. Listen to this. You want to hear something funny? You know what you share in your prayer? It's exactly where I'm going with this thing. I knew it was from the Lord. As soon as I hear things like that, I want to tell you something. Listen to this. This is very important. To prepare the way. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way. Correct? Okay. Let me just tell you. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So John the Baptist just walked into this. He just walked, and we have all works from God if we're led by the Spirit. Everyone in this room has something to do for God. If you're listening to him, if we're just into our own selves, you will miss it. If we're into our house, into our money, into our marriage, into whatever, if it's not into God's work, you miss it. Because the Lord's always working, always, all of us. Okay, so here we go. John chapter 1, verse 6. Is this thing working? Eh? No, it's not, then I'm just going to let her fly. John, I'm at John chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, if you want to follow me. I'm going to go up at this witness. A witness from God is sent from God. John 1 to 6. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. Now, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. I wanted to put it, but it's okay. You just follow me, okay? Malachi 3, 1 says, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me." That part is John the Baptist. Now, this part is Jesus. "Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." So people confuse it. They think it's all John the Baptist. It's not. John the Baptist is in the beginning, and then all of a sudden, when did Jesus suddenly appear? In the temple. You remember in John 2? He has a whip. You never see Jesus like that. Wait till I get to that passage of scripture. Jesus isn't, well, he is, but he isn't when it comes to God's holiness. He's wild. He's really heavy. So here he is. He suddenly appears, and John preaches, preparing the way for Christ. Okay, so the fulfillment, this is John the Baptist as a promise, right? So in Mark chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, you get, now here you have the promise of John the Baptist. Now you have the fulfillment of John the Baptist. And he says this in Mark chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. "It is written in Isaiah the prophet." Now, this is what I don't understand. And you got to hear me. I don't understand this, okay? In the Bible, it says, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way." That is not Isaiah 43. That is Malachi 3:1. Then they say Isaiah 40, verse 3. I don't know why the people who wrote the Bible didn't put that in. They should have been able to see that. I don't understand that. But I'm pointing it out to you right now. In Mark chapter, this right here, "It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I'll send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way." That is Malachi 3:1. Now, Isaiah 43, this is Isaiah 43. "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's Isaiah 43. They're both the same. Both of them are prepared. He's preparing the way for the Lord. Now, listen to this. Have you ever wondered, how did John the Baptist prepare the way for Christ? Have you ever thought about that? It's an interesting question, man. It's not just, we should have a Bible study. And then we'll get it, not forget it. I'm going to get into it. Because then you might get the answer, and I don't like that. Okay, you ready? Here's the answer. I'm going to give you it in verses, okay? Luke chapter 1, verses 14 to 17. You're going to have to follow the Bible if you want the answer, okay? Here we go. In Luke chapter 1, verse 14 to 17, this is John the Baptist, and it says about John the Baptist. "John the Baptist, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Okay, how did he prepare? How did John the Baptist prepare the way for the Lord? Here, the key is this, the verse, "to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So the first coming, John the Baptist had this tremendous privilege. Listen to this now. All the prophets introduced the Messiah, the promise. But John the Baptist actually brought him on the stage. He said, "This is the one who takes away the sin of the world." That's why Jesus called him the greatest of all prophets. And listen to this. People who really get fixated on miracles and preachers who do that need to be very careful. I want to show you
you something about John the Baptist. In John chapter 10, listen, look at this. You got to see this, man. This is incredible. And Jesus called him the greatest of all prophets. He called him the greatest. And these prophets did miracles. Look at Elijah. He rose them from the dead. He did all kinds of things, these prophets. This guy is the greatest of all of them. Why? Listen to this. In John chapter 10, verses 40 and 41, I want to read this to you. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the earlier days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a miraculous sign. Are you hearing it? Listen to that. People who get fixated on miracles need to be very, very careful because God's not honored by that. This is what God's honored with. This is what he's honored with. Let me read it. Though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true, and that place many believed in Jesus. You see why he was exalted? You see why? He was faithful to the message of the gospel, and he told about Jesus. All he said about Jesus was true. And God said, that I exalt that. I don't exalt the miracles because it puffs up the man. But when they exalt Jesus, it puffs up Jesus. Lifts him up. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? This is that we're in an age now with miracles. You're healed. You're healed. Oh, glorify. It's not a glorify. It brings attention to men. It does. The gospel brings attention to the Lord, the glory of God. When people believe in Jesus and they're changed, that's a miraculous sign. Amen? Not miracle. I did a miracle with my heart. How did he die anyways? Lazarus, he rose from the dead. He had to die. Doesn't matter. It's the gospel that we don't die ever again. Amen? John the Baptist, man, I love that guy. I can't wait to meet him. Strange man, man. Strange food, strange clothing, strange message. And here's why he prepared the way for the Lord. Listen to this. This is the verse. It's in Acts chapter 19, verse 4. I was trying to figure it out to make it as clear as I can for everybody. Acts 19, 4. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is in Jesus. This is how he did it. When John baptized, he baptized everybody. Come to me. And he prepared the way for the Lord by preparing the people for repentance. That's how he did it. And everybody that came on the stage, as soon as John did all this baptism of repentance, and they're in a state of repentance. Am I right? In his state, and all he has to do now, John goes, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They were in a state of repentance. The minute they looked at Jesus, he took away their sin. He prepared the way for the Lord by preparing the people to make them ready to receive Christ. That's how he did it. That's why he was the greatest of all the prophets. He wasn't great because of what he did, he was great because of who he talked about. The Messiah. He had that. What a privilege. Wouldn't you say that's a privilege? What a privilege. And this guy, I'm telling you, man, what a witness. You have to look at John to see the witness of John. Even in prison, he doubted. Did you know that? Even in prison, he doubted. Did you know that? Want me to prove it? Yeah, let's prove it. In Matthew chapter 11. It's fun, eh? Bible? Praise the Lord, man. Let's go at it. Matthew chapter 11. This is what he did. This is John the Baptist. The Bible, you know what the Bible doesn't do? This is what the Bible doesn't do. I love it. The only person that doesn't hairbrush, do you understand what hairbrush is? It means you make the person look good. Here, take away my all my wrinkles. You know what I'm saying? The person hairbrush. Elijah, he was depressed. Let's keep going. David, he committed adultery. Want to keep going? Every one of them was a sinner. It showed their awfulness, their ugliness. You can't find it in Jesus. You can't find it in Jesus. Can you prove, any of you prove me guilty of sin, he said. Right to the Pharisee, to your friend, you would say, Christ, man. So heavy. So heavy. So, as we said, I want to show you one thing. I really have to show you this. I want to show you a wonderful picture of God sending someone and preparing it all in advance. A wonderful. And everybody in this room loves to share their faith. Right? Hopefully. Or you'll get there. It'll start becoming joyful. It'll start being fun. But I'm going to tell you, this is not a deal. I used to do this in the wrong way. Preaching, God, forgive me. The Lord has forgiven me. I used to put pictures on people in evangelists. You have to share your faith. It's not about you. Spirit-led evangelism is very free.
Spirit-led, not flesh. Not going out there and trying to get it done. Doesn't work. Spirit-led and spirit-sent is what God's looking for when we're available. Lord, send me. That's how it's happening in my life.
Now it's happening. Just, come on, God, do it. Show me who I'm to reach. Who am I to reach? Tell me. I'll show you a story. Look at this story. This is the way I think everybody should be in our evangelism. If we're trusting the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 35. Look at this. This is incredible. This is the way I want to live my life in evangelism. This is the way I want to do for the church. I want to give this to the whole church to do it like this. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.
Was he sent? He was sent.
He was sent. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch and an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Any coincidences? Is there any coincidences? How can you have that? That's the way it should be for everybody in this place. And it does happen like that. I know it does. In my life, when I reach people that got saved, you know how many people have got saved from me? It's unbelievable. I look back, I can't believe it. And it all happened only when I'm just walking along and praying. And all of a sudden, God brings somebody to me. And he says, say these words. I say, boom, they get saved. Born again. It's unbelievable. And when you try and do it, it doesn't work. Because you'll get the glory. God knows it, so he blocks you. But when you just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, lead me, let me be sent by your God. Start praying this way, everybody, church. Let me be sent by your God. Show me the person. God knows who it is. Hey, even if you're working in a Canadian Bible college, still can be used. You believe that? Because God has people in where? In McDonald's. Hey, am I right? He has people everywhere that have an aching heart. And they're waiting for that question. Like this. They're reading the Bible. Some people are reading the Bible right now. Do you believe that? Your neighbor might be reading the Bible. You don't know, eh? And you're on the airplane. And you don't know. You sit beside a passenger. And all of a sudden they're reading the Bible. And the Holy Spirit puts something in your heart. And all of a sudden say, does that make any sense? Should I ask that? Obey him. Obey the Spirit. Because he knows. He knows the heart of every human being. In Psalm 33, he formed the hearts of every human being. Everybody. He knows. As soon as you start to pray like this, Lord, lead me. Send me to somebody. Please, Lord, I want to be used, Lord. He will. That's his will, not yours. He wants this for the church. And you know what's more exciting? Hey, did we get excited when Julie shared? Did we get excited? Not because of you, sister. I know, you know too. It's because the Spirit of God wants this. This is what the Spirit wants for the church. This is what he wants. He doesn't want us to be looking at each other.
He wants us to really reach out. The minute you reach out, you're not looking at yourself. And boy, you get people that got somebody stands up, I just got saved! Yeah! I got saved! Yeah! And the church starts rocking. Because God made us for this.
He didn't make us to go inward.
He didn't make us just to inside of us, and then we serve, and God, are you listening to me?
So important, man. This is really important. Let me keep going. I like this story anyways. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. I get fascinated when I read this thing. I hope it happens to all of us. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus.
Is that not the way of evangelists, where we don't even have any effort? It just flops in your lap. Isn't that the way? Evangelism, I'm convinced now, is not what we do, it's who we intercede for. Evangelism is rooted in prayer, because then the Holy Spirit can lead you. So much of our effort is in the flesh in evangelism. In fact, repent, because I haven't had the Holy Spirit as my partner. Holy Spirit, who should I go to? Who should I send? What should I say? Do we say that? Do we really say that? Walking along the street. Holy Spirit, do you want me to touch this person? Do you want me to talk to this person? Spirit of God, do you want me to shut up? What do you want me to do? Spirit of God, do we do that? Truthfully, all of us, are we in that without praying, without ceasing to the Spirit of God? He is the one who wants to evangelize to us.
I'm so young in this stuff. And I'm an evangelist. Isn't that nuts? I'm just learning this right now. That this is the way it's done to build a church. True. So there here it is, eh?
A true witness of God. A true witness is someone who is sent by God and led by God. That's a true witness. All other witnesses are false. It's just flesh.
I've seen people, honestly, I've seen them waste their time on people. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't give our time to them, but when it's not the Spirit of God, it's the flesh.
Is anybody listening to what I'm trying to say? You know why I can be honest about this? It's because I failed. I failed. I brought people to the Lord, but I failed more than I brought people to the Lord. I'm not beating myself up. I'm just trying to get it right now. Pray. Be led by the Spirit. Be sent by the Spirit. And it will work. It'll work. When you meet your friend up in the elevator, just say to God, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to pray for this man? And the minute that God says, hey, she's partnering with me, watch what happens. This is what he wants.
We get away from ourselves and we start doing God's purpose and work. That's a witness, sent and led. Another witness is someone who is testifies concerning the light and not himself.
Nothing about himself, just the light, Jesus Christ. What's a witness? Really think of it. What is a witness? If I brought you up on a stand and the devil,
he was here,
and Christ was here, brought you up on the stand, and he cross-examined you to see if you're a witness. Would you pass the test? I think most of you would, because I'll tell you what a witness is. A witness, if you witness a car accident, the police will come to you and say, what did you see? What did you hear? What did you experience? If you have all those three, then you're not a witness. But if you have, you're a witness. Now, a believer who's a witness is you see what Jesus has done, you hear what Christ has done, and you experience what Christ has done. That's a witness. So, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Well, Jesus 2,000 years ago, how can I see Jesus? But you can see Jesus when you open your Bible through the power of the Spirit. He shows Christ in a different level. Have you seen him like that? Have you heard him? Everybody in this room, when you hear Christ, there's nothing like it. You not only physically, but he has touched us by changing us. The best illustrations, I think, are in the Bible. And the best illustration for this one I'm going to say is this one. There is a witness in the Bible that I can't compete with in any illustration, any book. It's Christ in it. Remember the man born blind? He makes me laugh. He makes me laugh so hard. I'm not joking with you. He's blind. Born blind. So in that time, 2,000 years ago, he had no education. Right? Remember right? He had no education. He was born blind. Okay?
Jesus touches him and heals him. This is amazing. Watch this.
Well, before I do, he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. This is John the Baptist. This is the way I think. You know, I think one preacher said it right. I only want to talk about Jesus. Everything else is frivolous. That's the truth. Everything. As you start moving towards eternity, that's all you're going to be wanting to talk about is Jesus.
This guy's an interesting guy.
I love this guy. This reminds me of me. Yeah, seriously, came off the street, man. Didn't know what I was doing. But I was a witness. And you too, Drew, you were a witness. That was so beautiful what you shared. This guy, listen to this guy. Let me read it. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied,
listen to this over here, but this is a good witness. Now, listen to this.
Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Good witness, eh? How do you fight against that? How do you fight against that? And then he goes on, he goes, okay, listen to this. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why? Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?
Can you imagine the heavyweights of Pharisees?
The heavyweights, religious people. They crucified Jesus Christ. And they were there.
Well, do you want to be his disciples too? Isn't that neat?
And he goes, then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly men who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Blind, uneducated, a beggar. This is how God will forgive you of your sin if you receive him as the Savior. I received him. I got saved. You got saved. Just by receiving him, I believed him with all my heart.
What a beautiful message, amen? We have it. We've got the antidote for this world that's dying and going to hell. We've got it. Christ's blood. And God is saying, let the Holy Spirit lead you, please. Let him lead you. So here it is. A witness is being sent and led by God. A witness is, you only testify to the light. There's nothing. No miracles, no church, no denomination, no nobody, but Jesus Christ. Only Jesus. And you're a true witness. You're a true witness. And you know, lastly, a witness, a true witness is, you receive the light. You receive the light. You receive it. Every day, morning by morning, you receive the light. The Holy Spirit lives in you, but you have to acknowledge, I need to be filled with the Spirit of light. I need that, Lord. I need it. I need it, Lord. I need it. Let me go on. If the true light that gives light to every man is coming into the world.
He was coming into the world.
Gives light to every man. He came, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses. You won't be doing crazy. Just tell them about Jesus. That's all. That's our job. And you will be witnesses, my witnesses. This is so important, the Holy Spirit. You notice how I started off? He sends us. He leads us. And now what? He gives us power to tell people about the light. But then not only that, he comes and lives in us. He fills us with the light. He fills us. We have to be filled every day to be a witness for God. I'm not joking. One, we are leaky vessels. God wants us to be filled with this light. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. But we need to acknowledge, we need to be filled, Lord, to be a witness. All of us in this room.
St. Francis of Assisi said that preach the gospel if necessary. Use words.
You know, the first two things that I've just said is really okay, no problem, but this is where the rubber hits the road. If people can't see Jesus in you, something's wrong. The lost can't see it. I'm not joking. When you said that kind and compassionate, the lost is looking for that. It doesn't matter here. It really doesn't matter here. I can fake it with everybody, man. I can fake it. Dennis, my friend, other people in the thing, they say things about me, and I don't want to tell you, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is. If people don't see Jesus Christ, something's wrong. Honest, truthfully, then we have to say, Lord, you live in me, then I must be blocking you. Help me, Lord. Would you with me? He wants to shine through you. He wants to shine through you. He wants to do that for us, all of us.
May God help us all, truthfully, truthfully. John the Baptist was a true witness where the light shone through him. You know how I know?
I want to talk about Apostle Paul too. He's one of my favorite friends, man. I can't wait to meet him too, John the Baptist and Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul is not a faker. What makes him so unique is that he would talk for God. But he lived it out. And this verse of scripture just touches my heart as a pastor. I'm not there. I'm not there with my kids. I'm not there with my wife. I'm not there with you guys. But God, Holy Spirit, help me to get there. Because this is the way the world will be touched by these three verses here. They're going to be touched by it. If the Holy Spirit does it through you. He goes, we were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. I'm not looking for it. Beautiful phrase. And God knows our heart if we're looking for it. He knows. We don't fool anybody. Especially this age. No way, man. And I'm fascinated with Don Dearlove that he's always telling me, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. And he's doing it quite a bit with me. And I'm saying, why are you doing that, brother? He says, because I'm coming close to meeting Jesus. You're getting it. I'm coming close to meeting God. I want nothing between me. There's something in it, and he's becoming more beautiful, this guy. More. God's shining through him as he's dying to self. This is the heavy verse of the Apostle Paul. As apostles of Christ,
Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Oh, that's so beautiful. The loss of love is. Even my own wife would love to get this. When the Holy Spirit works through you, that's what happens. You don't just preach to them. You give your life like Jesus gave it to us. It's beautiful. I want to be like this, truthfully. And you know, I end it like this. John the Baptist was like this. And there's one verse that says he was like this. Look at this. This is Jesus, anyways. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and what? Isn't that witnessing? When people can praise the Lord because of your light, Jesus is living through it. Not my wife praising me. You flatter me sometimes, and that's okay. But no, she doesn't. She's very, very constant. Even when my wife is black. Trust me. But because she knows when I'm broken and brokenhearted, she's very sensitive, because if you destroy me, you can crush me. I'm telling you, listen to me, when your enemy or when the world can see Christ and they praise the Lord for you, that's a whole different picture. Not your spouse, not your friends, not even this church. It's the world. When they say, I praise the Lord because of you, they can be converted. That's our
It's like they've been born again, and I'm raising them up. And they praise the Lord, and when they start praising the Lord, maybe you see them underneath your ministry. Oh, what a joy! What a joy! That's what God wants from us, to get our eyes off ourselves and on Him, and the people get saved. John the Baptist, look at this. I know he did this. He must decrease, you must increase, right? Look at what he did. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you choose for a time to enjoy that light. Let something on that lollipop for about a week and think of it. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you choose for a time to enjoy this. Can people say that? Meet with Josh King with this.
There's no special person in this place. We have the Holy Spirit. He wants to touch me all eternal. Don't you say words. That doesn't mean nothing. There are words. Fall to the ground. And they're from God. He has found people. Imagine when the lost hear, words from God. And they touch you. They go, what's that? That's what the lost feel when they hear it from Christ. What's that? They don't know what it is, but it's something. It's touching me. What is it? Are you here? Are you listening to me? When it's the Lord working through. He wants us to touch people like this. May God help us all to surrender, amen?
Turn to Him, like you're saying. Just turn to Him.
Here's my prayer.
This is what for the church. Now, please. I want to do this.
If we can do groups of two and three and pray. And if you feel that you don't want to pray, you feel uncomfortable, leave. You're not more spiritual than you. Just, you can go. No problem. I dismiss you. Just go. But if you do want to pray with us, anybody in this room, then stay. And pray these two prayers for our church. Because I keep saying this, on Wednesday night, we pray for you.